kama ila mana da yo mitte. Kama kama ila kana wa bigette. Kama kama pala karu panikatte. Kama ida ila mai tote, kama kama sila kana vubekete, kama kama, kama kama kama, kama kama, yeah, kama kama inba kadara kote, kama kama inba ya kadara kote.
Just gone 3 minutes past six. Vanakkam, namaskaram, and good evening. Let's talk with Kimeshni. It's Tuesday, the 14th of March, and I trust you all had an awesome day. Remember, you can live stream us worldwide on www.southsidefm.com, and do check us out on social media. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, as well as TikTok. So thank you to Lloyd and Spear for keeping us company. You can catch them on The Real Drive tomorrow from 3 to 6 p.m. only on Southside FM 107.2. So coming up on my show this evening, I am super, super excited because I will be joined by an author who has just released a book called A Father's Daughter. Now, in just a few minutes at around 6:15, I will be joined by Swastika Jagannath. And she recently published a book called A Father's Daughter, which is basically a book about the sudden loss of her dad due to the COVID-19 pandemic. And she will be sharing her experience and a story with us. So I'm really looking forward to that. And she has also sponsored a copy for one of our lucky listeners this evening. So I thought to make it a little bit interesting, I think for our Southside family this evening, if you would like to win a copy of this book, maybe you would like to share your story with us if you lost a loved one during COVID, or if you know of someone that did lose a loved one during COVID, or just someone basically struggling through losing a loved one, I think this book would definitely be suitable for you. And I mean, there's a lot of themes that she covered in this book. For example, there's grief, so basically processing the void and pain. There's also emotional agility and mental well-being. Another theme that she covers is female empowerment, as well as childhood development and adult accountability. And the last theme that she addresses is basically kindness, conscious living, and spiritual well-being. So what a wonderful book Swastika Jagannath has written. I personally have not read it myself, but I will be getting my hands, I will be getting a copy and will definitely be reading this book. But to our Southside FM family, if you want to win a copy of this book, do send me a message or possibly a voice note, just basically telling me why you think you should win this copy of this book called A Father's Daughter. And I will gladly be giving away this copy as well. So do stay tuned. Swastika Jagannath will be joining me at around 6:15.
சொட்ட சொட்ட நனைது தாஜ்மஹால் கொடையொன்னு கொடையொன்னு தாகிலியே விட்டு விட்டு துடிக்குது என் நெஞ்சு வெக்கம் விட்டு வெக்கம் விட்டு வா வெளியே கட்டி கொடுத்தவனும் நான் தாண்டி அடியே நீ எங்கே நீ எங்கே கண்ணீரில் வழையும் தரிக்கு அடியே நீ எங்கே நீ எங்கே கண்ணீரில் வழையும் தரிக்கு அச்சதை போடும் போது தலையை நீட்ட வேண்டும் கண்ணே கண்ணே நீருக்கும் நமக்கும் ஒரு தேவ பந்தம் அன்பே உருவானது நீருக்குள் முகம் பார்த்த ஜோடி ஒன்றை மீண்டும் மழை சேர்த்தது சொத்த நான இது தாஜ்மஹால் கொடையொன்னு கொடையொன்னு தாக்கிலியே
தெரிக்கின்ற மின்னல்கள் வேண்டும், இதை வழி பொழிகின்ற மழை மட்டும் வேண்டும். அவளுக்கு நான் மட்டும் தெரிந்திட வேண்டும், அவள் முகம் நான் மட்டும் அறிந்திட வேண்டும். சிந்தி விழும் முதல் மழை வந்து விழும் முதல் அலை எந்திரிக்கும் முதல் மர சுந்தரிக்கு சொந்தமாகவே காதல் வந்தது. காதல் வந்த
வணக்கம், அந்தரிக்கு நமஸ்காரம். ஹாய், ஐ அம் மெர்வின் பிளே அண்ட் யூ ஆர் லிசனிங் டு சவுத் சைடு எஃப்எம்.
And it's just gone 16 minutes past 6 and you're tuned in to Southside FM 107.2. Let's talk with Kimeshni. Now joining me in just a few minutes is Swastika Jagannath and we are going to be chatting about the recent launch of a book called A Father's Daughter. Now this book is based on the loss of her dad during COVID-19. And as I mentioned earlier on, she also chats a bit about a few themes that are relevant in our society today as well, and certainly something that we can all relate to as well, in terms of losing a loved one especially. So Swastika has kindly sponsored a book to our Southside family this evening. So if you would like to win a copy of the book called A Father's Daughter, all you need to do is just basically share your story. Maybe you know of someone that has lost a close family member during COVID, or maybe you yourself lost someone. And feel that this book would basically inspire you and help you through get through this emotional process, then please do WhatsApp me or share your story with us on 074-345-4447. I have received a few messages already, so thank you to those that are currently WhatsApping us. I will be reading out your stories and your messages in just a few minutes.
నీకేమైంది బుజ్జి?
మూడు లేదు మాస్టర్.
నీ మూడికేమైంది?
ఏమైందంటే ఏం చెప్పమంటావు? ఓయ్ బంగారాజు,
నువ్వు పెళ్లి చేసుకెళ్ళి పోతే బంగారాజు మాకింకెవ్వడు కొని పెడతాడు కోకా బ్లౌజు.
ఎక్కడుంటే అక్కడుండు బంగారాజు, నువ్వు హ్యాపీగా ఉండాలి బంగారాజు.
వాసివాడి తస్సదియా,
వాసివాడి 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 తస్సదియా.
எல்லாருக்கும் வணக்கம், அந்தரிக்கு நமஸ்காரம். ஹாய், ஐ அம் மர்வின் பிளே அண்ட் யூ ஆர் லிசனிங் டு சவுத் சைடு எஃப்எம்.
Wow, what a vibrant song for a Tuesday afternoon. I almost felt like dancing in the studio. So that was Vasi Vaadi Tasadiya. And it's just gone 21 minutes past 6 and you're tuned in to Southside FM 107.2. Let's talk with Kimeshni. Now joining me on my show this evening is author Swastika Jagannath, and I'm super excited because we get to chat a bit about her book that she recently just launched called A Father's Daughter. Now just a little bit about Swastika. She is actually a sneaker portfolio manager by day at Bata, South Africa. She possesses a PhD in business science and is also a mom of two kids with a peculiar sense of humor to stay sane. And named after the originating ancient well-wishing Hindu Sanskrit symbol swastika, she herself can be found reading and researching when she's not passionately writing. So Swastika's passion for writing stemmed at an early age when she enjoyed writing essays and continued even after she escalated her writing through academic levels until her long life dream of PhD, which she achieved in 2020. So she doesn't consider herself a famous writer, but only an average mom and daughter who has experienced grief and now has decided to share it with the world. So Vanakkam, Namaskaram and good evening Swastika, and welcome to Southside FM.
Thank you, Kimishni. Thanks for having me here.
Thank you so much for making the time for us. I know you have a busy schedule, and as much as I would have loved for you to join us in studio, but I'm sure you will at some point come visit us.
Definitely.
Now, Swastika, I know I've given a brief introduction of yourself, but maybe you'd like to share with our Southside family, you know, really who is Swastika?
So I think, you know, from my professional background, like you said, I work at Bata and I manage a sneaker portfolio. So there are a few brands within the portfolio. And Bata is quite a well-established brand that's
yes.
in the community for many years. It's also an international brand that most people don't know. They generally think that it's unique to that specific country that we operate in. And I've spent a good part of my career with the company and I've built myself through multiple roles over the years. And before Bata, I used to work at shopping centers and I used to specialize in marketing. I'm also a mom of two kids. So, yes, balancing a work life and a family life is very challenging. But this book was something that definitely needed to get out there. So, you know, marketing is something that's in my blood, in my DNA, brand building as well. And, yeah, I love just having, you know, family time. I do have two kids that can drive me insane as well, but that goes with the perks of being a mom. And we have our challenges in life. And I think COVID definitely taught us that as well. COVID is definitely an eye opener to all of us in the way that we lead our lives. And COVID is one of the reasons why I actually put together the book that we're going to chat about now.
Yes, definitely. And I'm super excited to get into the book. So you, the name of the book is called A Father's Daughter. Now, before getting into too much of detail, but really what inspired the title or the name of this book?
I have to be honest, when I had eventually decided that this was going to be a book, because that was not the intention, but at that point, when I knew it was going to be a book, I easily knew what the title of this book was, because it was my perspective on everything, which involves my childhood, which involves a lot about my dad and the way I perceived him and saw him growing up. And it is my story and the way I perceive the story. That is why the title rolled off quite easily. And then I had to go and Google and search, you know, because I thought that this was quite a cliched title. I thought, you know, something must exist somewhere, right? Couldn't be me that I'm the first person to think of this. And surprisingly enough, it is the first title. There are other titles that are similar.
Yes.
But this is the first title of a book and a memoir titled A Father's Daughter. So, yeah, it's basically my personal story from my perspective. And that's why it flowed so easily.
Wow. Now, getting into the theme, not the theme, but the general summary of your book. Really, what is A Father's Daughter all about?
So I would think, you know, if I had to sum it up, there's a lot that goes on in the book. And it's basically a journey through my childhood where I tell you a little bit about my dad and the way he had raised me and the values and give you a bit of his personality so that it gives you context to understand my grief, because I thought about that writing process. And if I had just gone into the grief process, which is what most people want out of the book, they want to understand that grief is similar or there's some pattern that they can relate to, and they want to feel like they're not alone. And the grief part of it is what really stands out for most people. That's what I've had feedback about. And this book takes you through the grief process and how I experienced grief as an adult, losing my dad, because we had this very close bond as we had grown up. And then after the grief process, I talk about the healing process and what that was for me as a Hindu Indian that lives in South Africa. And, you know, if we compare our religion and our values and our spirituality and our beliefs and our, you know, the way we are raised by tradition and customs, a lot of that comes into the book as well, because COVID was a time when no one was around. You didn't have spiritual leaders. We didn't have elders of the family around us to guide us with this process. We were literally alone. It was just our immediate family going through this process. And at the end of the book, I also start to sort of question, how would I talk to my kids about grief? Because I felt this pain as an adult, and I want my kids to be better prepared for grief, whether it's their first pet that they're going to lose, or, you know, it could be anyone. It could be anyone and in any form that they experience grief, and I want them to know this a little better. So the book starts to question the way we live our lives as well. So yes, it's quite a journey. It's quite a journey.
Wow, that sounds incredible. And, you know, there is no manual in life in general, but more specifically on how to deal with grief. I mean, nobody gets sent a manual to say, okay, this is how you got to deal with it. Everybody has their own ways of dealing with it. So the fact that you are able to put pen to paper and able to share your story, that guaranteed there's thousands or millions of people that will be able to relate to it.
Definitely. You know, when I first started writing, it was never for the purpose of the book. I started writing because I didn't want to talk to anyone. And I sort of shut down with all of my emotions. And I started writing because only when my dad passed did I have this flood of emotion and memories that went back to my childhood and all the sacrifices that my dad made for me as a parent. And I started to just open my laptop and type, because it was a moment where I felt like I could just escape with writing down my words and processing the grief. And that was brilliant, painful exercise, because it brings back all of these memories and you miss them even more. And, you know, it's very emotional, but I started to document it because I wanted to remember him, because I also felt guilty. I felt guilty that when he's alive, I didn't have all of these memories. I didn't think that far back into my childhood. I didn't know my brain was capable of remembering that far back. And it was only grief that sort of took me through down memory lane and gave me these memories again. So I decided to capture all of it. And I wanted my kids to know him as well, because on their dad's side, they don't have grandparents there as well. So
okay. They
basically don't know their grandparents. And my kids are still young. The last few years of my dad's life that they did spend with him, he was really ill. He struggled with Parkinson's. So he wasn't the granddad that could take them to the park or throw them up in the air. So they never got to know my dad. And that's why I started writing it for me and my kids. It was never meant for a book or for the world to see my emotions, but eventually it became that.
Wow. Now, I must add, you know, I came across you, your book on social media, and instantly the title saying A Father's Daughter is something that I could totally relate to, because I have such an incredible relationship with my dad. I mean, many people have said this to me. They wish they were so close to their dad, and I'm basically the epitome of a father-daughter relationship. So personally, I could totally relate in terms of having such an incredible relationship with your dad. But the mere fact that you are able to think back and relate to all the memories and now create this, write this book, as you mentioned now, because your kids are still young. They don't know, didn't know much of your dad as well. Mm-hmm. So the fact that you're able to relate to all of this is just amazing, because, I mean, there's nothing better that you want to do than to share your experience and your relationship with your dad.
Definitely, definitely. I mean, you know, as Indians in South Africa, it's only that far we can trace our roots. I mean, I knew my grandfather, but I don't know my great-grandfather. I don't know past that generation. And it's actually quite sad that we can't trace this. And it also, you know, boils down to our level of awareness and our education over the generations. You know, our great-grandparents didn't always think to capture all of this, you know, or to record it somewhere for the future generations to come.
Yes.
And that's why it's so important, because this is my kid's grandfather. And for a few generations to come, at least, you know, there will be some legacy. Someone will know who their great-grandfather was or their great-great-grandfather.
Yes,
so it is a good legacy to leave behind.
Definitely. Now, Swastika, is this your first book that you've written or published?
Yes, it is. It is my first book that I've published. I did write a PhD, which was also just as intensive.
Yes, I can imagine.
This has been a lot more different. This was not an academic journey. This was a very personal and emotional one.
Wow, that's incredible. Now, I know you, obviously there's a few themes that are spoken about throughout the book. Maybe you would like to share with our listeners this evening, what are the themes that you actually address in this book?
Sure. So the book is not structured in themes. It flows as a timeline because it's a memoir. So it starts off with explaining my dad's character. It takes you through my childhood and how I processed the grief and what lessons I leave behind for my kids. But once I was done writing and I could sit back and reflect on what were the key themes that emerged from the writing, and then what can we talk about? What can we learn from the book now that it's done and it's on paper? There's basically five themes that surface. And one of them is grief and the way we process pain and a void that is left behind. And I think you've said this earlier, there isn't a formula. There
Yes.
isn't a copy and paste strategy that someone can use. But the more we talk about it and the more we discuss these things, we find similarities. There are some patterns that are relatable, and it's actually reassuring to know that when you are feeling like you are alone and going insane on this journey, someone else feels that way. Mm. And relating to people who are experiencing grief is really critical. You don't have to personally experience it, but sometimes you need to know how to be able to relate to others that are experiencing grief. You know, like if I think about my kids, they could see me experiencing grief and there were moments where I didn't want to show it to them. And they didn't know how to react. They didn't know how to make mom feel better.
Yes.
Because we didn't have these conversations.
Yes.
And then I thought, do I show my kids that I'm grieving, or do I not show people that I'm grieving? Do you need to be strong? Because, you know, people wish you well when you're going through grief, and they're like, we wish you strength. And you know, you try to think of all of these words and these wisdom that people try to impart, and none of it sort of helps when you're going through that journey. And I think COVID was just, you know, the last straw for me, because aside from losing a loved one, you were alone in the journey. Physically, people were not around. You know, traditionally in our Indian home, when there are weddings or when there are ceremonies or festivals or prayers or even funerals, there is a home full of loved ones around you. And there was no one. And I understood why, because, you know, the elderly were at highest risk of picking up the COVID disease. This was a time when the vaccines weren't even out as yet. So I understood why people were not there. But at the same time, you're also going through this process yourself. So grief is one of them. And like you said, you're a father's daughter yourself.
Yes.
So you would be able to understand, you know, that relationship of love. And only through this process of writing, I learned why I mourned so deeply and why that pain was so severe for me. It's because the depth of your love equates the depth of your grief. So grief was definitely one of the key themes. The second one was emotional agility and mental well-being. So yes, you physically don't want to get out of bed, or you have tears rolling down your eyes, or, you know, you just don't want to move around, you don't want to meet people. But I think emotionally and in terms of controlling your mindset, this is something that was really important. And I think, you know, we don't discuss emotions as often as we should. And this is something that sort of challenges adults to think about the way we process emotions. How often do we talk to our kids about emotions? And there's a beautiful acronym that I put into the book that I learned from a clinical psychologist. And when you talk about your day, for example, as a parent to a kid, the acronym is SMSPE, right? Which stands for, the first S stands for spiritual, the second, the M stands for mental, the second S stands for social, the P stands for physical, and E stands for emotional. And this is a 360 check that you could have as a parent, for example, with your kid. You know, spiritually, did we pray today? You know, I mean, did you ask your kids if they've had some connection with God, whatever form that is?
Yes.
Mentally, you know, where is our mind today? What are our thoughts? What are our agendas like? What are we doing? Socially, do we have enough people, friends in our circle, neighbors, community, whatever that might be? Physically, how is our health? You know, do we have a temperature today, or are we feeling healthy? And emotionally, you know, and this is one of the biggest things, we don't talk about emotions. You know, it's generally, I'm okay, or I'm happy, or I'm sad. You know, it's one of those cliche emotions, or
yes,
I'm angry, right? And we don't know how to describe past those emotions. And there's so many other more emotions that help us describe ourselves better. So that's the second theme that's really important. The third one, and since it's International Women's Month, I think this one is quite critical and more relevant, is female empowerment.
Wow.
And I never realized that my dad was actually an advocate for female empowerment. Only when I sat back and I wrote did I realize how he, throughout my childhood, and not just me, my nieces, females that he came across, even at work, you know, young females, he would always motivate them to go and get their driver's license or get a job or study further, you know, through tertiary education. It doesn't just stop at high school. And I mean, this was a time in the 80s when women weren't yet driving as much or getting out into employment at that time. So
not at all.
I thought, you know, that he definitely, you know, was an advocate for female empowerment. I don't think he even realized it, but he always saw more potential in females, you know, and I would often tease my cousins and I would tell them, you know, that the girls always scored because they got to spend more time with him. And he would even talk to my uncles and you know, motivate them when they had a boy and a girl in the family. It was still a common practice where the boys were sent to university or the boys were sent to high school or sent to get the driver's license. The girls weren't prioritized because the girl was going to be married and sent off. And he had to change that narrative. You know, he tried to convince my uncles over the years why they needed to do these things, why they needed a bank account. And now they've all benefited from this. And, you know, they all sit back and they miss him as much because they realize the benefits of us having had him around in that time in the 80s when people were not necessarily thinking of women forward. So female empowerment comes out as the third theme. The fourth theme is childhood development and our adult accountability. And this was me reflecting on myself. It's not pointing a finger at anyone, but
yes,
I felt like I didn't do enough. I mean, I'm educated. I went to university. I have studied quite a bit. I have a PhD. But I could not link my emotions to my thoughts. And I knew about all of these emotions. It was not new, but I didn't know how to process it. I didn't know how to feel it. Mm. I knew of it, but I didn't know how to feel it. And I think that, you know, challenging our schooling systems, our academic institutions, teachers, peers that are responsible for children development and upbringing will help us change that agenda. If I look at my kids' curriculum now versus when I was back in primary school, there's a lot more that's coming up about emotions and feelings. But the topic of grief and death is still very sensitive, and that doesn't surface. And death needs to be accompanied with the concept of life just as equally as important, because they go side by side. We always attach a negative narrative to death. It's always seen as something negative.
Yes.
And this is why we hush away from it. And, you know, some people don't even like taking their kids to funerals. And I think, you know, based on the kids' age and their level of understanding, you've got to obviously, you know, tone that conversation up or down a notch based on what the kid is ready for and based on what your values are at home, based on your own upbringing and the way you want to do things. But these conversations need to happen. We can't wait for the first dog to die and then watch our kids' heartbreak, you know, or wait for their first grandparent to pass away and then we have that conversation. It should be coming up in the school curriculum to some extent, obviously age-appropriate content. So there is that theme that challenges our academic institutions and our peers that do have that sort of accountability and, you know, could make those changes in the society that we need. And then the last theme is about spiritual well-being, mindfulness, and consciousness. And this, for me, was one of the grounding factors because my dad taught me a lot of things, and I captured a lot of that in the book itself. And you know, spirituality was something really important to him. And yes, he took me through it, but we didn't go into depth. For example, I never read the Bhagavad Gita. You know, I always thought the book is really intimidating. I doubt I'm ever gonna, you know, want to go and voluntarily read it. And I obviously want to be fasting and make sure that, you know, that, you know, I'm in the appropriate mind space to be reading that kind of scriptures. And I always thought I would see myself during retirement sitting down and going through this book at some point in my life. But at the time of my dad's passing, I started to question a lot. I was questioning his soul and the journey that he was on. And you know, where is he now that, you know, the body is not here, but surely he's on some journey.
Yes.
And as I started to Google, I came across this, you know, course in India that was facilitated through the ISKCON temple in India. And they took me through the Bhagavad Gita. So it's a free online course that takes you through the 18 chapters. And it sort of explains to you what happens to the soul and the journey that you're on and how to practice mindfulness and be conscious in our day-to-day lives, you know. We do so many activities and we're so unconscious. I mean, sometimes we're driving home and we don't even know how we drove home, right? We've passed a couple of robots or passed a couple of areas and we don't even know how we got there. And that is our unconscious bias that settles in. So if we think about the rest of our life and how many other activities we do in the day that is totally unconscious, that we, our brains and bodies have become accustomed to doing those tasks, it makes you start to think, what do we do consciously? And conscious living is something really important that's linked to spirituality. It's about being a better human being. It's about trying to be kind. When we can help others, we do reach out. You know, there's a meme, I think, in Facebook that sort of led me to this theme. And the meme is basically a kid and an old wise man. And the kid says to the old man, tell me, what is a good career for me to consider? And the old man replies, be a good human being, because there's a lot of opportunity and very little competition.
And irrespective of your religious background as well, you know.
Yeah, it's... no, totally. So for me, it was definitely religious, being a Hindu, but what is translated here is universal. It you know, transcends across different religions. It doesn't matter what faith you are or what religion you practice or what your form of spirituality means to you. It's just believing in a higher purpose. If you believe in God and you believe in doing more for others and that you have a purpose in life, that is the last theme that made me think about how would I want to live my life? how do I want my kids to remember me when I could be in a book one day and they are sitting and I've left them behind? So that was the last theme, basically, that covers the entire novel.
You know, Swastika, I'm just sitting here at the studio and just listening to you, and there's not an inch of me that is saying I should not read this book. I mean, I can't wait to get my hands on a copy of this book and just get into it. Not because I can relate to, I mean, emotionally, I can totally relate to the relationship that you have with your dad. But, I mean, the fact that you've covered such a broad, such broad aspects of life, as I said, that's totally relatable to anybody. And, I mean, it's issues that we're facing in society, such as woman empowerment, things like that. Mm. But not only is it just about grief, but you've covered such a vast amount of themes and concepts that, as I said, I mean, I can't imagine someone that just listened to you speak about the themes in your book and not literally want to go run out now and get a copy of your book. But it's absolutely amazing just listening to you. And you know, Swastika, I know you mentioned that obviously this book was inspired by your dad, but really, what other inspiration, or were there any other possible inspiration that you had in writing this book?
So, Dad was definitely one of the inspirations, and I think it was my kids. It was making a change because, like I said, my dad taught me lots of stuff, but he didn't teach me to cope without him. He didn't prepare me for a world when he would not be there anymore. And that was one of the reasons why I wanted to write. I wanted to help my kids be better prepared for the pain that comes with grief. Because as we said earlier, there is no manual. There is no book that prepares you for emotions. But them having to hear this from me one day, whether I'm here or not here, there's something that they can relate to. They will always be able to pick up this piece of paper that will live forever and be able to give them some guideline. They're still going to experience this, you know, by themselves. I cannot feel the pain for them. I cannot help them prepare for every emotion that's going to come their way, but I can at least create awareness around it so that it's not a shock to their system or to their mind. Lots of people shut down completely during grief. You know, I mean, they stop going to work, they stop earning an income, they lose responsibilities, accountability, and it could take a toll for the worse. I've seen that. I started a Facebook group as well before I even wrote the book, and I just wanted to capture, you know, all these memories. And when I started that group, it was open up, you know, worldwide, anyone could join. And then only I realized how many daughters out there needed some support, you know, even if it was just someone sending them a couple of WhatsApps, you know, during the week, just to help them process the funerals or the ceremonies or the immediate news of death at their door. Because COVID did that. COVID took away a lot of elders. Yes. And there were just lots of daughters drawn to the page worldwide. It exceeds leaps and bounds, color, religion, status, age. There were daughters worldwide that were joining the page. And like you said, it's not just daughters. It's anyone that felt grief. They all started to join the page. Even fathers started to join the page because they realized that they make such an impression on their daughters that they need to make sure that they do make the best impression, you know, and because the kids are that impressionable, you know, they look up to them. They look up to them as their peer, as their role model. You know, a dad is a girl's first love in her life. And so fathers have also been drawn to the page. And these little stories of hope is what actually inspired me to get writing and putting it into a book.
That's absolutely amazing. You know, I mean, getting all emotional here, as I mentioned as well, because I can totally relate to this based on the relationship that I currently have with my dad. And I mean, just listening to what you're saying, it's hard because, as you mentioned, or parents in general, we don't get taught what it's like when they're not around. No one prepares you for that. And as you mentioned earlier in the show as well, something that really stuck with me is that the extent of the love that you have is also the extent of the grief that you will go through as well. But the fact that you're able to, that you wrote this book, and as you said, I feel like it's almost just a guidance and something that, you know, at some point, it's something that somebody else can definitely relate to, as much as you feel like you're alone. But whether it's grief, there's totally something that each and every person can relate to. And I'm sure that's really what is in the book as well.
Definitely, definitely.
That's amazing. So if you just joined us, it's now 49 minutes past 6 and you're tuned in to Southside FM 107.2. And joining me on my show this evening is Swastika Jagannath, and she is the author of a book called A Father's Daughter. So we've been having an incredible conversation thus far, totally emotional, I must add. And it's really just great just listening to Swastika. And she has so kindly sponsored a book to one of our lucky listeners this evening. So I did pose the question to our Southside family this evening that maybe if they would like to share their story of losing a loved one during COVID, or maybe they know of someone that has lost a loved one and feel like this book would really be able to help them and get through, help them not overcome, but help them get through the process of grief. Please do share with us your story, and you can WhatsApp me on 074-345-4447. And coming up just after a quick song break, Swastika will also be sharing some of her hobbies, possibly, and basically, you know, what she feels that what someone will actually take away from reading this book as well. So do stay with us. Dandana 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 dandana
படுகோட்டி விளையாடும் பருவம் போல் நிசமான ஓடும் போல் நாமானோ விளையாட்ட படுகோட்டி விளையாடும் பருவம் போல் நிசமான ஓடும் போல் நாமானோ கரை காணா கடல் மேலே நீயும் நானும் தடுமாறும் ஓடும் போல் தாவி பார்த்தோம் என்னானாலும் ஏற்பதுதான் வாழ்க்கையம்மா விளையாட்ட படுகோட்டி விளையாடும் பருவம் போல் நிசமான ஓடும் போல் நாமானோ தத்தி தத்தி நீரில்லாடி சுத்தி சுத்தி சுழலும் போதும் அக்கரைக்கு போகத்தானே அல்லாடும் எத்தனையோ புயலும் கண்டு கொட்டும் மழையில் பொறுமையும் கொண்டு தொலை தூரம் சேரத்தானே தள்ளாடும் தன்னோட வழியெல்லாம் தன்னை தவிர துணையுள்ள திசையெல்லாம் எப்போது கரையச் சேரும் விளையாட்ட படுகோட்டி விளையாடும் பருவம் போல் நிசமான ஓடும் போல் நாமானோ பட்ட மரங்கள் தானே கஷ்டப்படும் நீயும் நானும் அது போலே பட்ட பாடு அலைகள் போலே விட்டு விட்டு மோதி பார்க்கும் எட்டி நிற்க திரும்ப திரும்ப விளையாடும் கடலிறங்கோ கட்டுமரோ ஆகத்த அறியாது கடல் சேரும் நதியெல்லாம் திரும்பி அறிவுக்கேது முடிவு முடிவு விளையாட்டா படுகோட்டி விளையாடும் பருவம் போய் நிசமான ஓடும் போல் நாமானோ கரை காணா கடல் மேலே நீயும் நானும் தடுமாறும் ஓடும் போல் தாவி பார்த்தோம் என்னானாலும் ஏற்பதுதான் விளையாட்டா படுகோட்டி விளையாடும் பருவம் போல் நிசமான ஓடும் போல் நாமானோ
சிவக்கே செங்கா